Auburn is on an absolute heater right now in the portal.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes. An Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 35 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we are ready to rock and roll. We're so excited. You had an absolutely fast and furious 24 hours in the portal. Picked up three big guys along the defensive line. We're going to talk about that. Just what this means looking forward for the roster turnaround and what we can possibly look forward to in the future. And then I'm going to have a little take. I'm going to have a little, I guess, a conclusion to this whole Aiden Holloway situation and just kind of give my thoughts on it. But before we do, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management. Look, Ford has launched a TV show. If you're in the Huntsville area, it's WZDX Channel 54. If you're in Columbus, Georgia, it's WXTX Channel 54. That's 10:30 a.m. on Sundays. And 8:30 a.m. on Sundays. I'm sorry, 10:30 in Huntsville, 8:30 a.m. in Columbus. The show's called Retirement Results. You get a chance to get to know Ford. You get to see him. You get to hear him. You kind of get to, you know, get to know him before you reach out and talk to him and get your sort of your future, your retirement, your savings in order. So give him a shout. Big Auburn guy. I know he was excited about these portal additions. So check him out. Ford Stokes, activewealth.com. Boom, 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 triple boom. And within 24 hours, it was fast, it was furious, and it was a lot of fun. Auburn lands three, I would say, big-time defensive linemen, some of the top recruits available in the portal. And the big thing is you picked out three targets and you went and got them. We didn't really hear a ton other names other than these guys. You got Phillip Bleedy from Indiana, who's formerly from Texas Tech. He's going on this is his last hurrah. Married, family guy, here for business. 6'3", right around 300, another big body to help add to that defensive line rotation. Very, very excited about him. Isaiah Rakes, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce that last name. Look, this was a guy you really thought you had a good chance to land last portal period. And he ends up going to USC. Combined, I think there was some NIL issues. There was some homesickness issues. And then you got the familiarity with DJ Durkin from Texas A&M. Kind of made Auburn, a front runner there as soon as he went into the portal. And then kind of a surprise, I kind of thought he might pop today. But he went ahead and typically you commit and then sign. We flipped it. We went ahead and signed. Kyron Crawford from Arkansas State, edge player. He committed afterwards. Like, he put out his commitment post afterwards, which was great. It said signed, Kyron Crawford. So what the things that this does, it's big, because you were really going into the season with only about if you wouldn't have added Trill Carter and Gage Keys, you would have been going into the season on the interior with only four guys that were returning. So obviously you're thin, and really only one of those guys has played. Two of those guys, Keldrick Falk and Jason Jones, have played significant snaps. Daron Reed hasn't played a ton. And Zacchaeus Walker has been, injured and out and in and out and in, it seems like, for the past couple of years. He's been here for a long time as well. So you were scary, scary thin. And honestly, you're worried about a little bit of what possible playmaking ability do you have there, especially when you lose a guy like Marcus Harris, who had such a disruptive year at tackle. So you go in and you get Trill Carter and you get Gage Keys. Still, that's only six guys in the interior, four of which have any meaningful playing time under their belt. So what do? You go find two more guys that you can add on the interior, and now you have, you don't have a ton of what I would call superstar potential, but you have some guys that give you options to rotate, keep guys fresh, and maybe you can maintain a level of physicality. Maybe you can maintain a level of, I guess, physicality, just getting after it. You can kind of maintain that level throughout a game instead of having to rely on Jason Jones to play 80 snaps a game, or, you can give him a breather, and possibly some of these guys allow a guy like Jason Jones not to have to play that nose position or just shade off the nose. He can actually be, maybe a more disruptive defensive tackle versus having to be just a plugger, a guy that just sits down in the middle, which I think that's what you're going to see from Isaiah Rikes. And he could step in and play immediately. He's got to obviously work on conditioning. He's never really played more than, 25 or 30 snaps in a game. Those snaps are typically very, very good reps. He always ranks at some of the highest in Pro Football Focus as far as like run stopping plays and things of that nature. And that Auburn was not a very good at times run stopping defense. So to be able to add somebody like that can sit down in the middle of that line and you can't move him, just be an absolute mountain of a man. I think that frees up everybody. And maybe you got a guy like Philip Bleedy that can sort of play a little bit more of the Marcus Harris role and be a little bit more disruptive. And then there's so many options. You got Gage Keys that can come in behind Keldrick Falk. You got Trill Carter that can come in behind possibly a Isaiah Rikes. And then you got Jason Jones that can play any position on the line. This defensive line just became obviously deeper, way more versatile. And I think the amount of bodies, if you can figure out the rotation, I don't know if y'all remember back in, I think it was 2013, we had this, I think it was Ellis Johnson. I know we joked about him a little bit. He ended up falling off. But one thing he could do, and I particularly remember it in the Texas A&M game, is having a constant rotation of guys. Like it's like a in and out, in and out, in and out. And they kept dudes fresh and kept guys being able to be disruptive. If you can kind of develop something like that, that may be something that can benefit this team moving forward. Again, you may lack, you probably got Keldrick Falk that can be sort of like your superstar guy. Maybe even Jason Jones, if he's not having to play head up, that plugger nose tackle, if he's able to kind of be disruptive, you may have a couple of guys that could be on that upper level superstar game breaking ability. And then you got a bunch of guys that can sort of supplement each other and rotate. And you just have a bunch of really good options. And I love you were to take – this is very similar to Jake Thornton 2 years ago and being able to reshape the offensive line in the portal like he did, and then, gave us a pretty salty offensive line in year one. I think this was a perfect bow on this defensive line portal class. Add four guys and – the very tail end, you go in and you get the top guys you're going after. I just think it's big for this team moving forward. I think with these last three additions, if you take these last three additions and then your other two guys, Gage Keys, Trill Carter, I honestly think you got you at least a win or a win and a half based off of those additions. I really do. I really do, because I think the defensive line was by far the position that was scary from a depth perspective. You had two guys that could make plays. You had two big time guys that could make plays. The rest on the interior were a little bit not underutilized, but the rest were just, they don't have a lot of, game tape. They don't have a lot of experience. So I think you honestly added at least a win, possibly a win and a half over these last, definitely these last three additions, but for sure the last, the last five total of the guys you added on the defensive line. We're not really talking a whole lot about Kayron Crawford, a guy who was incredibly disruptive at Arkansas State. Now he gets to back up Jalen McLeod. you basically had Jalen McLeod and then freshmen, which they're good freshmen. They're guys that are going to play. But when you get in a pass rushing situation and it's a big game early in the year, it's kind of a lot to ask to throw Jamonta Waller out there or Joseph Phillips out there in a crucial situation and say, go make a play and make the right decision. You're essentially early in the season. You got a guy like Kayron Crawford, who is very experienced. He's very explosive. And I think he may have actually a couple of years left to play too. So he may could play multiple years. So just somebody else to back up Jalen McLeod, who looks like he's going to have a breakout season based off of all the spring reports. I saw him dropping in coverage. He got a bogus pass interference call on him, which I think is hilarious in the A-Day game. But a guy that can drop in coverage and get after you in the passing game, and then you throw in somebody that's got just as high of a motor, maybe not quite as quick, but can possibly, you know, make some plays too. I love all three of these additions. And the biggest thing, again, the biggest thing that I like about it, and we're going to talk about the roster turnaround here, what to look about in the future. But the biggest thing, and I've already said it, is for the first time, it seems like you targeted guys in the portal. You targeted three guys in the portal. And I don't think we're done in the portal, by the way. You targeted three guys in the portal and you went and got them. You got in on them early. You got them visited early. Isaiah Reichs didn't have to visit, but you got the other guys in, you got them visited early, and then you sort of had the leverage. You sort of had the what it takes to get them. And if you want them and they fit criteria of what you have to get them, you go get them. And that's what they did. That's what they did. I think Philip Bleedy came in. You had a few times, maybe you had a few other, stones you wanted to see that not leave unturned, but you came in, you kind of knew where you stood with him. And once you figured out this was the best fit, boom, you went and you got him. Isaiah Reichs, the minute he goes into the portal, contacts made, boom, he's committed on Monday. Kayron Crawford, his very first visits to Auburn, he comes in on Sunday, boom, he signs on Monday. I mean, that's how you work the portal. And people made fun of me when I really played up and I booged hard over this Will Redmond hire. But I'm telling you, in the new age of college football, the GM may be the GM over player personnel may be the second most important person on this whole staff, right under the head coach. And I am not exaggerating when I say that. And you can just look at it from, and again, this is no hate on the previous whatever we had in place at player personnel, but you looked at the way we worked the portal the last three or four times since Hugh's been here. He got here in December. How you did it in that portal period, how you did it in spring, how you did it in this past portal period. So that's three times. We've had some success. You've been able to pull in some success, but it's always seemed like, oh gosh, what are we going to do? Like, it seems like guys are going elsewhere. They're going on visits. They're scheduling visits with us, but then they're going on visits before they get here and they're committing before they ever get here. This time we have, I feel like we have that situation, that whole player personnel organizational deal sort of put in place. And now we're able to diagnose what we need, you can call it a salary cap, but I mean, you know what you have in NIL and you know what you can offer and you go get it. You play money ball and you go get it. And I love it. I think there could have been a couple of guys, maybe if they went to the portal, that would have been super, super high dollar guys, high asking price guys that, you know, maybe we could have had a shot at that. You may get them, but you may not be able to get the other two guys that we added. So I think when you look at all the value of what you added, I think it was going to, it's just that organization is so incredibly important right now. And it feels like we got it going in the right direction. I wish they could have been here in December. I love the guys we added in December, but what else? You know, how better could it have been? And, you know, I think it's just going to be that with high school recruiting, portal recruiting and whatnot moving forward. As long as you can keep that staff happy, I would do whatever I could to keep them happy for sure. But like the biggest thing when you talk about this roster turnaround. So if you look at last year, I think we brought in 22 portal players total. Now, granted, that was Hugh's first year. We were essentially had self-induced probation from the Brian Harsin classes. When you look at his classes, very few are actually left. Very few are actually left on the roster. So you basically have a lot of young guys and you have a lot of old guys. So, and then just not a lot in between. So you had to go heavy in the portal last year. You added 21 guys. And my thoughts when I'm talking with, you know, people that are in the know, people that, you know football, and I know it's a different game now, but I think the thoughts always, if you can get to a point where you're not having to rely on the portal, if you can get to a point where maybe you're taking 10 or less, you know, portal players or somewhere around that 10 number, maybe, I think that's probably ideal because the guys that are here are bought into your culture and then you're just going and kind of plugging holes. So you signed 20 plus players last year and it looks like that number is going to drop all the way down to maybe 14. You may be adding 2 to 3 more from the portal from here on out. And a lot of that will depend on who leaves. You may not have to add really any. I'm thinking you could possibly lose a defensive back out of that crowded room. You may need to look at adding one back. You kind of got an eye on the older Fagan's brother that you could easily pop in right there if that were to happen. But think about that. Think about that. You feel like you've hit on everyone just about that you've added since you've been here. It's really hard to pinpoint sort of a miss or a significant amount of misses that you brought in and they just haven't been able to contribute. And you're having to just go dig back into the portal, go back to the portal. To be able to drop from 20 plus to maybe 14 total in one season, I mean, that's really impressive. So not only did you not add, you added some one and done guys, but you didn't add all one and done guys. You were able to bring in guys that could play multiple years and supplement depth. So you're not just continually having to go back to the well to get guys. I just think that's massive. And next year, if this high school recruiting class goes like it looks like it's projected to go, in your 2024 class, it seems like you did not miss on a single DB. There's just not a lot of guys I think that you can point to right now that say, you could say, especially the ones that are enrolled, to say, man, that was just a miss. I know it's still way early, so it could develop that way. But if the 2024 class comes in, they work like they're supposed to do. That half class that Hugh brought in, a lot of those guys are players. So you're starting to get to where you're getting multiple years of guys in your system. That portal number is going to become sort of a reload type deal. The portal is going to become a reload instead of a rebuild, which I'm very excited, very, very excited for. So, again, I can't stress enough how important it is to have that Will Redmond hire, a lot of this recruiting staff off the field in place, working the way they're working. You're just seeing more and more, continuity, more and more, you're getting more and more traction and stuff with guys. And I think it's big and recruiting's going to 100% benefit. So before we move on to my Aiden take, we got to give a shout out to Plains Coffee. Check them out. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off anytime you make an order. They have a little bit of something for everyone. Any kind of roast that you can imagine, they got it. And if you don't like coffee, they got teas too. So make sure you check them out. It's plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON to take 10% off. All right, look, I'm not one to really get personal, or I don't really like. It's cringy to me to see Twitter to like attack a kid going in the portal and things like that. I know stuff like that happens, even if it's a guy that you don't really want to go in the portal. I don't know. That just stuff kind of there's a situation, there's a reason behind a lot of things, and we don't always know all the story. So I always like to kind of reserve judgment and just let it kind of play out the way it is. And, you know, I may have a group text, you know, I may have a group text where I'm like, man, that kid's dumb, or that was a bad decision. But I'm typically not going to go public with it. because I just don't know that it all the time it's 100% fair. You know, we've had a couple of guys go in the portal that I've seen some stuff on Twitter that sort of rubbed me the wrong way, like Wesley Steiner going into the portal and a lot of people sort of being ugly on Twitter about it, you know, especially Auburn fans, you know, almost essentially celebrating. I'm just like, why? That's so tacky. The same thing with Coy Moore. Coy Moore hasn't even gone in the portal yet, but some bozo put something out there that he either wished he wanted to go into the portal, or he was going to enter the portal, or he needed to enter the portal. And I just think stuff like that is just, I don't know. It's just not me. I don't typically get into that. I think that's sort of, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of that. But this Aiden Holloway situation rolled around, and I tried to be quiet about it. I know that it's pretty clear that, you know, for a McDonald's All-American, there was a lot of expectations that he just either A, doesn't have really the ability to fulfill, or he just wasn't ready. So it was clear that if you wanted to be able to be competitive beyond winning the SEC, I mean, it was incredible that we did win the SEC tournament. We were finished second overall in the standings in the SEC. All of that's awesome. All that's great. But guards win championships. So being able to make a run in the NCAA tournament, I think it's pretty clear you got to be able to have competitive point guards. And I'm talking, you know, borderline elite. So I think Bruce was very clear that we've got to go find somebody. I don't think we can roll this out there again and just hope that they just get better. I just don't know that you can trust it, you know, for a whole season again. So he goes out and he was very, very, I don't think it was a secret. I don't think it was anything other than it is what it is. You can still compete. If you beat him, you beat him. And that's another thing. Bruce has shown people act like the point guard minute split and the two guard minute split is like this philosophy of Bruce. And it's not. You go look at all the point guards that have played for him since he's been at Auburn. The only one that has played averaged under 30 minutes a game was Wendell Green. And Wendell still averaged like 28 minutes a game. So it's not like it's a thing where he just plays a point guard 20 minutes a game. No. If you're elite, he's going to play you. Aiden against Baylor played nearly 30 minutes in that game. And he was hot. He was hot. I think he scored damn near 30 points in that game. Hit a bunch of threes. And he did everything he possibly could to say, Aiden, take it. I'll give it to you. You can play 30 minutes a game, but minutes don't make you better. You get better and you earn more minutes. And then, you know, as the season went on, sort of the book, so to speak, was out on Aiden, and he struggled. He struggled as a freshman might. You know, I get it. He's undersized, number one. He's not mega athletic from a quick twitch standpoint, but at times he's been an unbelievable shooter. I think in high school and in AAU, he was an unreal three-point shooter. But for whatever reason, that shot got worse and worse and worse as the season played on, and his minutes dropped in relation to it. So, again, could he have gotten better this year? Absolutely. He could have figured out his shot, and he probably could have been a decent player. I think he's limited in being able to get to the basket. I do. I don't know that that's something that is a developmental thing. I think it's more of an athletic ability thing. But he could have figured out his shot, which would have created some space and made it easier for him to get to the basket and get fouled, because he just never did. He barely could get to the basket. He couldn't finish when he got there. And then he – you know, obviously couldn't get to the line, which is a big thing of being a point guard. So I say all that. He goes into the portal, and I'm thinking, you know, that stinks. It feels like it's probably early, but there may be more to the story. And then it starts to come up that he's going to go to Alabama. Still, I'm not necessarily worried about that. I'm looking at it like, okay, how much better could he possibly be than Mark Sears? So I don't see that ever happening. So if Aiden were to go to Alabama, I think that possibly could be a plus from Auburn from a, you know, a game planning perspective. So still didn't say anything. He commits to Alabama. I don't care. It's good for him. You know, maybe he found a better NIL situation from the standpoint of maybe not they outbid us, but, you know, maybe it was like, hey, look, we can't continue to do this. We can't continue to do this because we have to go find, you know, more point guards, whatever the situation, good for him. But then he had to make the quote, essentially, that Bruce sold him a bill of goods about coming to Auburn and playing point guard. Sold him whatever the quote was. I don't even care to look it up. Sold him a bill of goods. At that point, all bets are off. At that point, unleash the Kraken, okay? Because number one, you were given the opportunity to take this job over. You shot more threes than anyone on the team by a substantial margin, You shot more threes than anyone on the team, and you were one of the worst three-point shooters on the team. So you shot the most three-point attempts was from Denver Jones, 122. You shot 50 more. You shot 50 more three-pointers than Denver Jones, our guy that we brought in to be the three-point shooter, and you averaged essentially the same amount of time. You were average basically the same amount of minutes. You took ungodly amounts of shots. You just didn't make them. Like, what are we talking about? You weren't given a chance. You weren't given the opportunity. You were given every opportunity. The first game of the season, you played 28 minutes. You took a bunch of shots. You made a bunch, and you could have kept doing that. Bruce, multiple times during the season, said he believed in Aiden. He believed in Aiden, and he needed to keep shooting his way out of it. He would never say stop shooting, because then that messes up with your head and everything. He said keep shooting, shoot your way out of it, and by God, you did. You just kept shooting. You kept shooting and kept not making it. Now, I'm still going to try to take the stance of I wish you the best of luck, except for the two or three times that we play you. But I'm honestly looking forward to, if Mark Sears stays in the draft, which is one of the weakest drafts maybe ever, he possibly, even undersized, he possibly could become a draft pick. And then if he doesn't, you're Mark Sears' backup who plays 30 minutes a game. So great, great decision. Great decision. You're in the exact same situation that you would have been at Auburn, with a guy playing over you, only having one more year to get done, and then you're sort of the guy for that. So if Mark Sears comes back, LOL, great choice. Great choice. You're going to play 10 minutes a game. Instead of 20 minutes a game, you're going to play 10 minutes a game. So great decision there. And you got to follow up a dude who was Mark Sears is unreal. So and you're nowhere in the stratosphere of athletic ability of Mark Sears. You're similar size. You possibly have potential to be a three-point shooter like him, but you don't have 10% of the athletic ability of Mark Sears. So if we have to take Mark Sears, Dr. Check, Mark Spears, moving forward, by all means, I'm fired up. Like, let's get away from dragging Aiden and just start celebrating, because unless he just comes out and he's a 45% three-point shooter, he can't get to the hole. And if he gets there, he can't score. So, and then, you know, to top it all off, you know, you go to Alabama this year. Yeah. You know, there was a road trip we played Alabama and then we went to Mississippi State. And I think we stayed either in it was one or the other. We went to Alabama. I think it was Alabama first. And then Starkville's just 45 minutes away. So instead of coming all the way back to Auburn and then going all the way back to Starkville, we just stayed somewhere there. After you just had a tough loss on the road, you get suspended. You get suspended by missing curfew and going out and partying. Like, now that you weren't the only one that got suspended. You weren't the only one that got suspended. But remember, we had like a first half or first quarter or some kind of suspension for breaking curfew. That game really messed you up. You were really hurt by that loss. I mean, I'm just appalled by the saying that you didn't get a shot. Bruce didn't give you a shot, or Bruce sold you something that you didn't get. That absolutely blows my mind that you would say that. I get it because you're a kid and you're young and you don't have a ton of experience. But when you look at the numbers, when you look at the facts, you were one of the least efficient offensive players on this roster that played a big number of minutes. Essentially, when you were out there, you were almost zero scoring threat. Almost zero. You didn't turn it over, so that's good. You did have a high assist to turnover ratio, which is great. That's what helped us. You were able to facilitate. But when it was crunch time, we did not have a point guard. There was no point guard that we could really lean on to go make a shot. Trey was that guy at times, not very consistent. I really wish Trey could have stayed. I think he could have benefited from another year in this offense, another year under Bruce. But, I wish you the best of luck. I wish him the best of luck. But I've never seen such a statement that's so out of touch with the facts and reality. It really blew my mind. It really blew my mind. And honestly, it blew my mind that If I'm Nate Oates, like, that's not – I definitely coach him to not say – I definitely coach that away. Like, you got to make sure, like, you understand, like, you were giving the keys. You were 100% giving the keys. Like, let's stay away from the Bruce talk and just stick with, I'm looking forward to a fresh start. I'm looking forward to this. But just let him go rip it like that. I'm appalled. I can't believe that those words were spoken out of your mouth and you believed them. You believed it enough to say it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Auburn's going to be better off. You got JP that you added. You got Broome back next year. You got to go find a backup point guard. They're talking about this guy named Mark, on several boards. I think Hoax posted it. Mark Freeman from Morehead State. He was injured all of last year. Could be a guy that you're looking at to come in and be a backup player. I think he was Ohio Valley Conference Player of the Year a couple of years ago. He'd be a one-year guy that could come play, backup JPP. And then you maybe could just platoon it. Like, you could maybe just get into a situation where, Denver gets some minutes at the one. And JPP, if he stays healthy, can play 30-plus minutes a game. So we'll see what happens. I generally don't like to talk about kids that leave Auburn, but I think Aiden, you kind of gave everybody the green light. So wear it. And I would say to Auburn fans, I don't let up. I wouldn't let up. I would make it miserable. I'll make it miserable. If you want to go at Bruce like that when you were given the keys to the castle, I think you deserve anything that comes to you. So with that being said, I think I'm getting close to getting this internet situation figured out. I apologize for the disasters recently. I've enlisted the help of some professionals. So I'm hoping we get that. We were able to get shows out on time and then just be a little bit better quality and things like that. But I really appreciate you guys hanging in with me. It's just so much fun every single time to talk about, just talk about anything Auburn. So again, y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll talk back on Thursday. Who knows? I don't think Auburn's done in the portal, and you got to get some stuff done fast because it closes next Tuesday. So we'll get back with you on Thursday and keep you in the loop. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5 on the bottom. Like and subscribe to like this video, subscribe to this channel. It helps. And then get in the comments. Let's talk about it. Let me know what you think about Aiden. Let me know what you think about the portal additions. What else do we need? Do we need a wide receiver? I would say yes. I'd say yes. We need a ride. Do we need a quarterback? We can have that conversation. So I really appreciate all the activity and all the interaction. And we'll do it again on Thursday. So again, this is episode 35 of the Top Button Podcast. Y'all stay button.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.